It truly is good to see each of you here this morning. Appreciate your being here. And we have some that have gathered with us this morning that have not. This is your first time to be back with us since we started meeting again in this format. And we are glad that you're with us. Appreciate your being here. We thank you, those that have joined us over the internet, and appreciate your being with us as well. I'd like for us this morning to talk about why we meet. And before I get into this lesson, let me just say this. There's been a lot of controversy among various churches and leaders of various churches about what we could have done or should have done in the last 2 and 3 months of all of what's been going on in this country, and orders that have been given by our government, and there have been some that have felt that we've done wrong by doing this, and others felt wrong we did the other way, and no matter what you did, there's somebody that didn't like it, and all kinds of objections have been given. And let me just say that I personally wholeheartedly endorse what our elders have decided to do, and we have done here at Ephesus. And I feel like, given the circumstances that we have made, and they have made the right choices, and we have done the right things the best we can to honor God in doing what we've done. So nothing I say this morning is to be taken in any way as saying that I don't agree with what has been done, because I do agree completely with what has been done. And so I want us to just say that right up front. In the book of Acts in chapter 11, and this is an interesting passage, and we'll be coming back to Acts 11 two or three times, but in Acts chapter 11, the church is in its very early stages. You remember Saul has been converted. He's gone back to his place, his hometown of Tarsus. The church has begun to spread out of Jerusalem and move in other places. And it says that the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number who believed turned to the Lord. And the news about them, and this is up in Antioch, by the way, up out of Jerusalem. The church, the news spread, reached them by the ears of the church in Jerusalem. They sent Barnabas off to Antioch, and then when he had come and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. And so the church has spread now because of the persecution that was taking place back in Jerusalem. And it says that most of the Christians left Jerusalem and went to different places. And Antioch was up north of Jerusalem a good ways. And this is where some of them settled. And so it was in Antioch that this church began. It says that Barnabas, verse 25, left for Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch, and he came about that for an entire year they met with the church and taught considerable numbers, and the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And so we see that the church now is established there in Antioch, and Saul is with them. And in fact, if you read the context there, you'll find that they didn't just have one preacher or two preachers. They actually had about six or seven of them working with the church there at Antioch. And so they had a good base for the church to grow. But Barnabas and Saul met with the church in Antioch for an entire year. Now, I think that's important because it actually says they met with the church. They weren't just Christians in the city. They weren't just claiming to be serving God, but they actually met regularly with the church in Antioch for an entire year. Now, we need to understand that the church we're talking about is people. The church is not some kind of building that's a big structure physically. That's where the church meets. But the church is the people that are inside it. The church is not an institution that is separated in some way from the people or separate and apart from the people. But rather, the church are those people who have been saved, those who are called out from the world to be separate for Christ. And so it is the people that have their sins forgiven. Colossians 1, verses 13 and 14 says that He delivered us from the domain of darkness, transferred us to the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And in this context, the term the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the beloved Son is used interchangeably with the church. And Paul did that quite regularly in Colossians as well as the book of Ephesians. And so he's talking about the church, and he says it's the people that have been called out of the domain of darkness, those that used to serve Satan, but now they serve Jesus Christ. And he says these people make up the church. That's who the church really is. The church meeting together on a regular basis is God's plan. It's not just man's idea. It's not just some nice option if we like it. And the fact is, while we have been going through what we've been going through, we've not been able to physically meet in the building for a number of weeks, and now we've begun to meet as we're doing today. But we did not have the option to do that for a period of time. And yet we need to understand that just, you know, meeting over the internet or meeting over television is not really God's plan as He would have it to be. God's plan is for us to meet together physically. And there are several reasons for that. And we'll talk about some of these reasons, but each of them serves a purpose in our walk with God as we serve God. One of the main reasons we meet as a church is to encourage each other. And this is important. Now, I've heard a lot of people say, well, the reason we meet is this, and they'll give one particular reason, and the fact is there are a lot of different reasons, but in my opinion, this is one of the strongest reasons why God has us to meet together as a church on a regular basis, is so that we might encourage each other. Now, I don't know about you, but I need encouragement. I don't always. Some days I get up and I'm going good and feeling good, and I probably don't need a whole lot of encouragement that day, but then some days I get up and I'm sort of down in the dumps and things are not going well or things go wrong, and I need some encouragement. And that's true in a physical sense, it's true in a mental sense, it's true in an emotional sense, and it certainly is true even in a spiritual sense, that some days it's easier for me to walk with God and for me to hold the hand of Christ than it is on other days. And so we all need encouragement from time to time. And so when we understand the importance of meeting together to encourage each other, we need to realize that it is for your benefit so that you can be encouraged, but it is also for my benefit and for Matt's benefit and for Adam's benefit and for others that are here so that we can indeed be an encouragement to each other. Look at verse 23 of our text. It says, when he had come and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. This is what Barnabas' purpose was. He said, what I'm here for is to encourage you and to help you be true to the Lord, help you to be faithful. And certainly this is one of the reasons why we meet together. In Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23 through 25, the Hebrew writer says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. But let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. How can we make each other do right? Well, he tells us, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. And so the Hebrew writer says the reason we shouldn't quit gathering and the reason we should not give up our assembly is so that we can encourage one another. And so the reason, or one of the reasons why we do come together, one of the reasons why we meet, is so that we can truly encourage each other, so that we can be encouraged as we assemble together. Now, we encourage each other by just being together. There's a certain benefit in just physically being together. If you can remember at the time, those of you that are older, you remember the time when you were dating, and it wasn't enough just to talk to your boyfriend or your girlfriend on the telephone, was it? You wanted to actually see them. You wanted to actually be with them. And we find that it's special to be with somebody. It's not enough just to do it through social media, do it over the internet, do it over television. That there's a certain amount of togetherness in that, and I understand. But the fact is, it's not the same as just being physically together. Being together helps us to really get to know each other, and we talk with each other about what's going on in our lives and what we can do to help each other. It gives us time to share our needs with each other. But it also gives us time to talk about what God is doing in us and through us and for us. And so as we look at that, there are reasons why it is a benefit for us to physically come together. Going back to Acts, and this time in chapter 14, it says in verse 27, that when they arrived, and Paul and Barnabas, or Barnabas and Saul, and then he became known as Paul, and then actually Paul took the leadership. So Paul and Barnabas had been on their first missionary journey, and they had returned to Antioch. And it says, when they arrived, verse 27, and gathered the church together. They began to report all the things that God had done with them and how He'd opened the door of faith to Gentiles, and they spent a long time with the disciples. And so the writer of Acts tells us that Paul and Barnabas came back to the Antioch where they had been sent from, and what they did is they got the church together and they began to rehearse all the things that God was doing through them. And we need to share what God is doing through us with each other and the work that is being done that God does through us. We meet together to teach and to build up the church. That is, to build up each other. And it may be in Bible classes, it may be in a sermon, it may be in other ways. But as we meet together, we do actually encourage each other. I've said a lot of times that Bible classes are extremely important, because you can learn a lot more in a Bible class than you do from most sermons. Because you have a chance to interact and you have a chance to ask questions and so on. And so there are real benefits in our meeting together and meeting in our Bible classes and studying together. Look at Acts 11 verse 26. It says that for an entire year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught considerable numbers, and disciples were called Christians in Antioch. And so they were meeting with the church and they were teaching people. And not only were they teaching those that were already Christians, but they were also reaching out to teach those that were lost, those outside the church, those outside the body of Christ. And yet they obviously were there with them, because it says they were teaching there at the church and considerable numbers were taught and the church was growing. Now what this implies then is that we need as Christians to be inviting and encouraging those that are not a part of our number to come and to meet with us and to study God's Word with us. And so He gives us an opportunity to reach those that are not in Christ with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look at Acts chapter 11, verse 23 again. It said, when he had come and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with a resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. And so it was through the process of the teaching and the church meeting together, and they were inviting other people to come and be with them. And it was in this way that many of the people were being taught and being brought to Christ. And so we as Christians need to not let our light be hidden under some kind of a bushel, barrel, or basket. But rather we need to let our light shine, and we need to do what we can to share the gospel with those that are lost. But why do we meet? Well, we meet on the Lord's Day, that is on Sunday, to remember the Lord's death, His burial, and His resurrection as we take the Lord's Supper, just as we have done a few moments ago. And that is an important part. It's not the only reason we meet, but it is an important part of why we meet. To remember what Jesus has done for us, His death on the cross. To remember all of the pain and the suffering that He went through on our behalf. To remember the love of God in sending Jesus to die for our sins. And to remember God's grace for saving us when we don't deserve it. But we look forward to the resurrection because Jesus was raised from the dead. And because of His resurrection, we too are promised that we will one day be raised from the dead, and that we can be with Him in eternity. And so as we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are to contemplate all of these things in our mind and be focused on them. Not necessarily all at the same time, but these are the things that we focus our mind on as we partake of the Lord's Supper. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, it says, on the first day of the week, when we were gathered together to break bread, Paul began to talk to them, intending to depart the next day, and he prolonged his message until midnight. And so they met on the Lord's Day to partake of the Lord's Supper. And that's what this breaking of bread is referring to here, is taking the Lord's Supper. Now, I've heard people say that we're commanded to take the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. Well, I haven't found that in the Bible. I don't know that anywhere it tells us that we have to do that. What we have is we have an example of these early Christians who did that on this occasion. And since they did that, we know that's the right thing to do, and so we follow their example and we do that. And I do believe it's important, and I do believe that we should follow their example and partake of the Lord's Supper on every Lord's Day of every week. And so we see that this is the way they did it, and I think that's what we should do as well. But you know, it is possible for us to meet for wrong reasons. I can remember times, especially around Easter Sunday, when you were made to wonder if sometimes people came just to show off their new clothes. That's a good time to wear some bright colors, and I guess I'm as guilty of that as anybody, but I wear those bright colors all the rest of the year too, so I don't do it just because it's Easter. But the fact is, people do come for wrong reasons. Some people may come just for the socialization, just to socialize with other people, or they may come just because mama made them come, or they may come just to make their wife happy, or they may come for a lot of different reasons, and it may not really be a real good solid reason why they come together. And we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, they had this problem. In fact, if you want to know about church problems, just read the book of 1 Corinthians, because just about every problem a church can have, they had it at Corinth. They had their share of problems. And in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 17, Paul says, "In giving this instruction, I do not praise you, because you come together not for the better, but for the worse." I couldn't help but think of the Old Testament prophet that said God was so displeased with the children of Israel, he said, "I wish you'd just shut the door to the temple and leave it alone." He said, "You come in there and you offer all these sacrifices, but your heart's not in it, and you don't live right the rest of the time." And he said, "The fact is, you're wasting your time and you're wasting mine." And so we need to understand that it is possible for us to come together even for the wrong reasons. And we need to come together for the right reason. And we should be meeting for the mutual good of one another. We should be meeting for the glory of God, to honor Jesus as our Lord. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, they continue reading there, and I'm not going to read all these verses, but in 23 through 34, Paul says the reason you should be coming together is not to eat a common meal. It's not just to, you know, to get full physically with food, or to drink so much you get drunk. But he said the real reason you come together is so that you can remember the Lord's death and His burial and His resurrection. And so you can remember what God has done for you. And so he says we need to be focused, and we need to do what we do in the right frame of mind for the right reason. And that is so that we can encourage each other and we can build each other up, and God will be glorified in all that we do. We meet together so we can pray together. We don't have to meet together to pray. We can pray just all by ourselves, and I encourage that we all do that. We need to all have our own individual times of just personal prayer and time with God, and it is good that we do that, but it is also good that we meet together. When Peter was thrown in prison in the very earliest days of the church, and you remember the angel of the Lord released him, and he went to John Mark's house, and when he got there, the church was together and they were praying. That's why they had met. They were there to be praying. In the early church, when they had problems, the apostles said that we need to be diligent in our ministry of the word and of prayer. And so prayer is extremely important, and having prayer together is a very important part of our worship. And we need to spend time together, praying together. We come together and worship and work together as a church, so that we can support and participate in mission work as a church and spread the gospel not just here in Piney Chapel where we are, but spread the gospel in other places. And I'm thankful to say that we as a church do help to support preachers in various parts of the world and other parts of this country. And so we need to be a part of spreading the gospel wherever we can. And certainly that's a part of our work as a church. In Acts chapter 13, we find there that the church in Antioch, it says, "While they were ministering the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them.' And then they, when they had fasted and prayed, and they laid their hands on them, they sent them away." And this is when they went on what we usually refer to as the first of Paul's missionary journeys. And they began to preach the gospel in various cities as they traveled around. And so the church in Antioch was busy in prayer. And the church in Antioch was also busy in sending the gospel to other people. Why do we meet? Well, sometimes we meet to make decisions as a church and settle problems that arise. In Acts chapter 6, and again, I'm not going to read all this, but in Acts chapter 6, the early church had a problem with some of the widows, the Grecian widows in particular, were being neglected in the daily ministration of the food. There was a problem there with not having enough for everybody to eat and not enough food for everybody. And so the church was helping take care of those people that were a part of the church. And yet there was one particular group there in the church that was being neglected. And so the elders or the apostles called the church together and they said, okay, we got a problem. We need to fix this problem. And they did. And they appointed men to take care of making sure that the distribution was made properly and made fairly. And so they made decisions together and they settled the problems together. And this is another reason why the church meets together. We meet together to sing. Singing is such a vital part of our worship. Singing serves a lot of different purposes. We sing so that we can teach each other. And singing can be encouraging to each other. I don't know about you, but sometimes I'll hear a song and I just feel better all over because I heard that song. And that's the way it is. And singing does that for us. And so as we sing together, it should teach us as we consider the words that we're singing. It also can be very encouraging to us. We also sing to praise God and to thank God and to offer up prayers in our song. And so all of these are why we worship together. It's why we meet together. And part of the reasons why. In 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 15, it talks about the fact that we sing and we pray in the Spirit. And he says we need to do that together as a church. In Ephesians 5 and verse 19, Colossians 3 and verse 16, we are to sing spiritual songs. We're to sing with our voices to the Lord, with our hearts, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. And so as we sing, we do so that we can encourage each other and so that we can praise God and we can honor Him in our songs. We need to meet because it's the Lord's plan for the good of His church, His people, that's us. And it is important. And I understand that even today there are some, because of their health situations and because of personal situations, that do not feel safe being out with any group of people anywhere. And I certainly understand that they probably at this point are better off to not be here. And yet, this is temporary. And hopefully it won't be long until everybody can feel safe being together again as we have done in the past. Because it is for our good that we meet together as God's people. The New Testament church met each Sunday, each Lord's Day. They also met daily at times. If you go back to Acts chapter 2, it talks about they were meeting daily from house to house and in the temple area. And so the church was just meeting a lot of different times, a lot of different places and so on. But they at least met on the Lord's Day. And then they also had some special meetings that they called together the church. And as we saw earlier, when Barnabas and Saul came back from their missionary journey, they called the church together. And so there were special call meetings as well. And so it's good for us, whatever the occasion is, at least on the Lord's Day, for us to meet together. But as much as possible, we need to meet together. As we do that and we consider that, we need to understand that it's for our good. It's to help us to live better for the Lord. We don't meet because the elders have just decided to make it hard on us in our life and say, well, you need to be here three times a week or two times a week or once a week, whatever the case is, given our situation. But we meet because it is to help us grow closer to God. We need to meet because it's the Lord's plan. It's for the good of His church, His people. It's not my idea. It's not our elders' idea. It is God's plan that we meet. And as such, we need to make every effort we possibly can to meet with the Lord's people when we're meeting together. And as a part of the church here at Ephesus, We need to make sure that we are a part of it every time that we meet, if we can possibly do so. That means our attitude should be not how can I get out of it, not how can I miss services, but how can I make my plans so that I can be here whenever we meet together. This morning I asked the question, are you a part of God's family? And this is a question that we ask almost every time we meet, but it is one that is extremely important because there are some that are not Christians that are here this morning. And you need to consider your condition. Not for your mother's sake, not for your daddy's sake, not for my sake, but for your relationship with God and for your eternity. You can come to Jesus today, confessing your faith in Him as the Son of God, turning away from sin and repentance, and being baptized into Christ. And just as Jesus died and was buried and rose again, you can die to sin and be buried in baptism and be raised to walk a new life. He'll forgive you of all of your sins. He'll give you His Holy Spirit to live in you as you live for Him. If you're here and you're subject to His invitation, we invite you to come as we stand.